Today's stuff is Kuf Yudalet. Just to make a brief reference to yesterday, because it was such an interesting daf with how the Re'im ended up in the, what was it called, the Re'im, right? How it ended up in the, how it got saved. Was the Mabul in Eretz Yisrael or not? I always find it interesting with the Agadatas, how they connect. So in the end, they said the Re'im was too big to fit in the Teva, so just his nostrils were in the Teva, and the rest of his body was outside. I was thinking, it's all about Pnim and Chutz, being inside and outside, and the, I was thinking of that imagery, and the imagery of Bichlal ending off the Masechet, since we won't be able to sing them together, ending off the Masechet with this concept of the Kedushat Makom of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, here we say, there was this opinion that the Mabul actually never even got to Eretz Yisrael, and that there's some sort of holiness there which leads to the holiness of the Kodesh Kodeshim and then the Bichlal, the Har Habayit, sort of relating to the concept of the uniqueness of the space. And like I said, this reference to Pnim Chutz and, whether it was in, out. Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot more you can do with those ideas. Okay. Right, not the Rema, the Rima. That's what it was called. I knew it wasn't the Re'im, the Rima, if they call it. Okay. Harovea v'hanirba. So now we're back to the Mishnah, again, that long Mishnah that we were discussing. Again, let's just review quickly from the beginning part of the Mishnah. If you look at Kuf Yud Aleph, we started with the parat chatat, which is the parat aduma, that you burn outside of its place, and the si'ira mishtaleach, you slaughtered it b'chutz, or offered it up b'chutz. Even the parat, I noticed yesterday that the parat chatat shesarfa, there's different quote, is it shechta or shesarfa? Okay, was it shechting or burning? Either which way. The reason why you're not going to be chayab for those things, for chutz, is because it says, al petach mo'ed lo avio, anything that's ro'oy lavo, petach mo'ed, that's not ro'oy lavo, petach mo'ed, you're not going to be chayab alav chutz, if you're a makriv b'chutz. Then we have this category, haroveh v'hanirba, engaged in bestiality, v'hamukse, was designated for avodah zarah, yod'nevad, it was worshipped for avodah zarah, the mechir, kelev, and the etnan zona, and the kilayim, and the trefa, and the Yotze Dofen. All these are animals that can't be offered. If you offer them b'chutz, how do you know that you're going to be patur? Shenemar lifnei mishkan Hashem. Anything that's not ro'oy lavo lifnei mishkan Hashem, ein chayavin alav. The obvious question is going to be, why didn't we learn this from the first part of the pasuk? Kol she'ein ro'oy lavo petach moed. The Mishnah set it up as if there's two categories. Things that can't go before all moed, and things that can't go before mishkan Hashem. But all these items, in theory, could fall into the category of they're not ro'oy lavo petach ol moed. So what's the difference? And that's why are they put in a separate category? And why are they learned from a different pasuk? So the Gemara asks, v'hanami tepuk lemi petach ol moed. These could all be animals that are never ro'oy lavo petach ol moed. So now they're going to basically find cases where, in theory, this animal could have been brought before ol moed at an earlier stage, then became disqualified, and that's why, even though they were technically speaking ro'oy lavo lifnei ol moed, they now, right, they were at some point, and therefore they can't be removed from that part of the verse, and therefore they need lifnei mishkan Hashem to say, well, these can't go before the Shechina, and therefore they're rejected. So, bishlama roveh v'nirba mishkacha leidak deshinu meikara. Let's say you have an animal that engaged in bestiality. The first you were makdish the animal before it engaged in bestiality. Then it engaged in bestiality. So at some point it was ro'oy lavo lifnei ol moed. After you sanctified it, remember, just because you sanctified it doesn't mean it's in the Beit HaMikdash. It could have been now roaming outside. It engaged in bestiality. And then, so it was at some point ro'oy lavo lifnei ol moed. And therefore, you have to learn it from lifnei mishkan Hashem. So therefore, Dr. Shinome Ekara Bahada Rivo, right? And then it had the bestiality relations. Ela Muktza V'Nevad. What about the Muktza Nevad? Ein Adam Osir Davar She'eno Shelo. In that case, if you sanctified it first, and then if we try to do the parallel in that case, you sanctify it, and then you designate it for Avodah Zarah. Well, once you sanctify something, it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the Hekdesh. And you're deciding that you're going to worship Avodah Zarah isn't going to do anything. Or even worshiping Avodah Zarah isn't going to do anything because it wasn't yours to designate as worship. And therefore, in theory, there shouldn't actually be a case, which means we're back to our original question. Why don't you just learn it from? It's something that was never ro'oy lavo lifnei ohel mo'ed. So what do they answer? Bekodshim kalim. V'alivet Rabbi Yossi Aglili damar kodshim kalim mamon balim hu. If you remember, we saw this machloket. Since kodshim kalim get eaten, the meat gets eaten by the owner of the korban. Therefore, it's not, when you designate it for hekdesh, it's not considered owned by the mikdash, because it's really owned by you and you're going to end up eating it. There's a machloket. Do we view this as mamon gavoa, because you are sacrificing it and part of it gets burned to God? Or do we view it as mamon balim? So we can say that the case in the Mishnah, Muktzeh Ne'evad, was talking about a case of kodshim kalim, and it was talking about a case, and it was talking lefi shitat Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that it's mamon balim. And then you would have a case where, in theory, you could have sanctified it, said, I'm bringing this as a korban, meaning at that point is ro'oy lavo lefnei ohel mo'ed, which is why it couldn't have been excluded from that verse. And then you designated it, or you worshipped it for Avodah Zarah, since you're allowed to, you know, what does it mean you're allowed to? You're not allowed to do that, but technically speaking, it's yours, it's owned by you, in the sense that you can actually change the status to Avodah Zarah, and then you'd have to say, well, this can't go lefnei Mishkan Hashem. And that's why it's, that's why, again, this is all to lead you to, that's why if you offered it up outside, you're not going to be chayav on chutz, because you couldn't have actually brought it bifnim. Now there's a bit of a strange structure in the Gemara. Oh, let's first read where he says it's mamon balim. Ditanya, there's a brighter where we see he says it. This is talking about shvuat pikadon. This is a case where you deny that you have something of somebody else's. And if you do that, you have to swear, ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem. Right? And then it says in the pasuk, I'll read you the whole pasuk, nefesh ki techtau ma'ala ma'al ba'ashem, which really isn't, it's not, this isn't me'ila, our general, you would think this is me'ila because it says ma'al ma'al ba'ashem. What does this mean? You did something against God, what did you do? V'chicheish ba'amito b'pikadonu b'tumiyadu b'gezel o'a shaket amito. Someone said you stole something or you are, were watching something and didn't return it, and you say, what are you talking about? I did, and you were lying. So in that case, what do you have to do? You have to take a swear, an oath, and there's a bunch of things you have to do, right? You have to return the item plus the chomesh. But what are they darshim from this? It says, umalama ba'ashem, and according to the Tameh Mikra, we stop there and then say, v'chichesh ba'amito, and you denied to your friend. But since the words la'ashem and kichesh come right next to each other, we learn that it includes kodshim kalim shehem mamono. In other words, it includes a case of la'ashem. What's la'ashem? A case where you sanctified it to the Beit HaMikdash, although it's still yours. In other words, it couldn't be, if you'd sanctified it to Hashem, then it wouldn't be yours anyway, but it's including an item that was kodshim kalim, shehem mamono, which are considered mamon of Adam. So if you have a case where you denied something relating to a kodshim kalim, that's considered mamon balim, and you would be obligated. If you did it relating to a kodshe kodshim, which isn't considered owned by the person, then that's once the person sanctified it, and then you say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't have it, they claim you stole it, it doesn't matter, it wasn't his, and this whole din wouldn't apply to you in kodshe kodshim. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it does apply in kodshim kalim, shehem amono, to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Okay, fine. Now we go, so that was just proving that Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds his mamon balim. Now we're gonna. Now the Gemara does a strange twist, because if you recall, there were three cases, three categories. There was Roveh Venirba, which we now explain could be a case where first you sanctified it, then it became Roveh Venirba, and that's why we need the pasuk Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because that could have been Ra'oy Lavo Lifnei Ohel Mo'ed. We now have the case of Kodshim Kalim when it comes to Muktzeh V'Ne'evad B'Kodshim Kalim. That would be a case. And the third, though, we haven't yet related to. The third case was the case of the Kilaim, Trefa, and the Mechir and the Etnan. Okay? The Etnan, Mechir, right, all of them. The Etnan, Mechir, Kilaim, Yotzei Dofen, okay, all those cases. So instead of going to the third case now, which would have been the third category of cases, which would have been the most logical, the Gemara actually does a bit of a summary, and then while it's doing the summary of the previous two, then it gives you the third, it raises the issue with the third. I don't know why it does that, but it just does. Hilkach, okay, therefore, we're getting a conclusion from what we said. Roveh v'nirva dvar erva. These are both dvar erva, meaning what they're trying to say is that it's an issue of erva, meaning some act happened to it, rather than a machshava, that a person changed its status to be hekdesh, okay? Or so therefore it's dvar erva, meaning that it's only, if therefore it could potentially have been ra'oi beforehand. Muktzeh v'nevad avodat kochavim b'kodshim kalim. Okay, so if the muktzeh v'nevad avodat kochavim, that could be in a case of kodshim kalim. Like I said, this is just summary. And now we're getting to the third one. Etnanu machir kilayim v'yotzei dofen. Okay, what about those? Okay, something that was sold to a prostitute, or was, right, you bought a kelev, you sold a kelev, and with that money you took and bought it, or you got a gift as a prostitute and you went and bought a sacrifice, or it was an animal that was a mixed breed, or it was a yotzei dofen, it was born not in a natural birth. How would you have a case now? Because all these things you would think from the moment, right, they're not ra'oi lavo lefnei ol moed at all, and we're trying to find a case where at some point they were ra'oi lavo lefnei ol moed, but yet now they can't go lefnei mishkan Hashem, and that's what we learned from that second verse. So what's going to be the case? This is a little bit of a complicated one. Bivladot kodashim. We're talking about that the mother animal was designated while she was pregnant, okay? I guess it could be in theory before, and now we go to sacrifice the mother and there's an ubar inside. Which means that what happens if the ubar, the fetus, is inside the animal? So if we offer up the mother animal, that animal is ra'oi to be offered up, right? So it's ra'oi le'ol mo'ed at this point, le'ol petach ol mo'ed, because it's in its mother's womb, which means if the mother was sanctified, right, then the animal will go along with it. But then what happened? Before the mother was offered up, somebody sold the fetus to, let's say, a prostitute, right? And said, oh, I'll give you this gift for the prostitution, or for kelev, or the mother was pregnant with an animal that was a crossbreed, okay? Or it was a yotzei dofen, in other words, it gets born from the mother, yotzei dofen, meaning that the mother doesn't actually get offered up while the animal is still, right, while the fetus is still inside, and that she gets designated, yes, but not offered up yet. The animal comes out as a yotzei dofen. So now, what's the status of the animal? So the animal at first was potentially able to be offered up, but yet, what we have to say now is, okay, kasavar, there's a machloket about this. Whenever we say kasavar, it means he holds by the shita of X as opposed to Y. Vladei kodashim bahavayatan hen kodashim. If you sanctify a mother animal and it's pregnant, then the fetus gets sanctified also, okay? However, there's a machloket about when does the sanctification fall upon the fetus. Does it fall upon the fetus when you sanctify the mother and it's still a fetus? Or does it only fall upon the offspring when it's born? So if you say it only falls upon the offspring when it's born, then that would be the case of our Mishnah. You hold it's not sanctified, because if it was sanctified in utero, then it wouldn't make a difference if you sold it for a kelev or a prostitution, because it's not yours to sell. It belongs to Hekdesh. So you'd have to say that it was a case where the animal, right, was ra'oi lavo lefnei ol moed, because if it had never been born and the mother was brought as a korban before the animal was born, the animal would have been offered up. So it was ra'oi lavo lefnei ol moed. However, before that happened, you sold the fetus, right? The fetus was sold to prostitution, or the fetus was a crossbreed, or, you know, any of these things, which could have been offered up as a fetus. But once it comes out, that's when the sanctification hits. And then it's no longer going to be allowed to be offered. In other words, but at that in-between point, when you sell it, it's now forbidden because it was, because it's lifnei mishkan Hashem. You can't use something that was used for prostitution, a crossbreed, or any of those things. However, there was, and what do you have to do? You have to find a time where it could have potentially been offered up. It could have been offered up while it was still a fetus inside the mother's womb if you would offer the mother. Okay? So it's this weird case, and right, but that's how they come up with an answer to that question. Okay. Balemu min, otov epino, etc. Now we have three cases in the Mishnah. Okay, we have a mum that is a mum over. Remember, the mum is going to go away at some point. We have Torim shelo higia zmanam yet. They weren't yet ready, right? They weren't yet the right age. And we have otova epino, which you can't sacrifice a mother and its offspring on the same day. Those cases all are cases where they're called mechusar zman. Right? They will be, right? If you offer the mother today, then tomorrow you can offer up the offspring. If you, right, all these things are considered mechusar zman. And what is Rabbi, also you can have a mechusar zman. We also have that case where it's not yet the right age, which is like the torim, right? But it needs to be 7 days until you can actually offer it up as a sacrifice. So now all those cases, we're going to say, why do we need all those cases to show what happened in the Mishnah? There was a machloket. Okay, Rabbi Shimon said, since all these things will potentially be able to go on the Mizbeach at some future point, even though right now they're pasul, we're going to be chayav if you offer them up bachutz. Whereas Chachamim say, you're not chayav if you offer them up bachutz, because right now they're not ra'oy. So the Gemara is going to explain, why do we need to show that they argue in all these three cases? Kidding, you've just said one of them, and we'd understand from that one, all of them. Utsrichi. De'itana ba'alei mumin. You might have thought ba'alei mumin mishum demi'ise. Maybe ba'alei mumin, it's disgusting to bring a ba'al mum on the altar. Aval torin de'lo mi'ise. Ema de'modi le'le Rabbi Shimon. But you might have thought that when it came to the Torim, maybe Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Shimon that if you take a Tor whose time is not yet, it's not yet the right time, there's nothing disgusting about that. If you offer it up outside, since it could have been brought inside down the road, and since it's not a despicable item like a Baal Mum is, therefore you might have thought that Chachamim would agree with Rabbi Shimon. V'itana Torim, and if you just had the case of the Torim, and then you know that they argue in that case, even though we just said a minute ago, maybe you would have thought they didn't, you would have said, Mishum de lochaze v'idchu. Their cases where they were never ra'oy yet, right? It hasn't yet come of age, and yet they're rejected. Aval ba'alei mumim de'ichzu v'idchu. These were ra'oy, and then they got a mum, right? And that's what happened. The animal was okay to begin with. Then it got a mum, so you might have thought, Ema de mode lehu Rabbi Shimon le'rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree in the case of the mum, Dafka, that in that case, we're going to say, since it was ra'oy and then rejected, right, that's worse. And therefore, we're going to say, oh, maybe Rabbi Shimon would say, you're not even chayav, because that had a point where it was ra'oy. Then it got rejected. Once it's rejected, we're going to say, oh, you're not chayav in halat chutz. Whereas since the Torim weren't even ra'oy that they became rejected, they were just not yet ra'oy, then Rabbi Shimon would say his opinion. But when it comes to something that was ra'oy and then rejected, we've had this about dichoy, right? Something that's dichoy, that was pushed off, is worse, then maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree with Rabbanan in that case. The itana hanetarte, so what if you have both of those, and then you'd be clear that they argue in that case, and they argue in that case. So now, why do you need also otov epino? Hanetarte mishum de psula de gufayhu. Those both have a psul in the animal itself. The torim are a problem, right, because they're not yet of the right age. And the balei mumim were a problem in the mum itself. Aval otov epino, the psula me'alma ka'atela. But the otov epino is a psul that comes from some external reason. Now, it is not the animal itself. It's just that we want to offer up the animal and its mother, and we can't do that at the same time, but there's nothing wrong with the animal itself. So what are we going to say now? If there's nothing wrong with the animal itself, who's going to agree with the other? Who's going to, we think would side with the other side? We think maybe it's more ra'oy to go on the Mizbeach, and therefore, Ema modi le Rabbanan le Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbanan would say, in this case, we would think that otov epino, since it's really potentially the animal could be offered up, it's just that today it's not good because we're offering up its mother, or the reverse, then we're going to say, because of that, we might have thought the Chachamim would say, you're chayav on halat chutz. And therefore, it's tzricha. That's why we needed all three cases. Okay, now we're going to go to the next part of the, where it says in the Mishnah, okay, so we have to go back again. Mechusar zman. Now we're going to get to the mechusar zman. Rabbi Shimon says, if you have a mechusar zman, okay, so Tanakama said you're patur. Okay, mechusar zman, it's not, right, the animal is not yet ready, right, it's not. At the time we saw there were two mechusar zmans, bein begufo, bein bebalav, right, we had that. The ba'alim are not yet ready. In other words, it's a mitzora or a zav or a zava or one of those cases where you bring the animal too early, and this time you bring it bachutz, so you're not going to be chayav, according to Tanakama. And And the mechusar zman of the animal, the animal's not yet the right age. So now we're going to say, Rabbi Shimon said, it's below tase, ve'ein bo karet. And Chachamim said, kol she'ein bo karet, ein bo lo tase. So according to Chachamim, this is nothing, just like all the other cases. According to Rabbi Shimon, this is a case where you end up with a lo tase. You don't end up with karet. It's in between. Halat chutz, generally, you get karet. We've seen the pasuk, when nechrata nefesh ha'i. Now we're going to say that no, you don't get karet, but it's an isur lo tase. Okay? So, now we're going to have to explain what's the lo tase. When we got to the Mishnah, I said we're going to have to see. One of them comes from this, the beginning of this week's parsha that we read at Mincha yesterday. My time is Rabbi Shimon. So what's, okay, we're going to have, it's a bit of a structure. It starts with a reason for Rabbi Shimon. Then it gets off, and we're going to have a side question on this and get off on two different answers. And then we're going to get back to a second answer of Rabbi Shimon. In other words, there's two different opinions about what the lo tase is. So the first opinion is, Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rish Lakish. Okay, it's said in the name of Rish Lakish, passed down by Rabbi Ila. What's the lo tase? Damar kra. So like I said, the very beginning of next week's parsha. Lo ta'asun kachol asher anachnu osim po hayom. Okay? These are the psukim we read before in Dvarim Yudbet. Okay? In Dvarim Yudbet, it says, right? If you remember, there were all these psukim. They're getting into the land, and Moshe says to them, you're going to bring, right, when we get there, you're going to destroy the psalim, and ki'im ala makom asher yivchar Hashem, lasum shmo sham, right, that's where you're going to go. And behevetem shama olotechem v'zivchechem, you're going to bring all your stuff there, etc. V'chaltem lefnei Hashem elokechem, and then it says, lo ta'asun kecholan asher anachnu osim po hayom, don't do like all the things that we're doing here today, and that's going to be a big question, what is he talking about, right? Ish kol hayashar be'enav, everybody, whatever they want. Now, it sounds like it's saying, right, we know from, let's say, Shoftim, anyone who's going to say for Shoftim, Ish kol hayashar be'enav is always a bad thing, right? Everybody does whatever they want. But actually, here, it's going to be understood, it's not, don't do like we're doing today, Ish kol hayashar be'enav. That's how you would think to read the pasuk. It's going to be, don't do what we do today, only do Ish kol hayashar be'enav. Okay, hold off on what that means. But first, I want you to understand what they're doing to the pasuk. Amar lehem Moshe l'Yisrael, ki ailitu le'eretz Yisrael, when you get into Eretz Yisrael, yisharot takrivu, chovot lo takrivu. Do yisharot, which doesn't mean the straight path, it means ish kol hayashar be'enav taseh. According to the drasha here, Moshe is talking to them about the first 14 years. When you get into the land, okay, he's not talking about the future, the long-term future, he's talking about the short-term future. For the first 14 years, when you don't have the proper Mishkan, because remember the Aaron's going to be with them everywhere and it's not going to be in the Mishkan, and you're not going to have the Machanot. We saw there were two reasons why it was going to be an issue, two possible reasons. The only thing you're going to be able to sacrifice wherever you want is, well, okay, I shouldn't say the only thing. He's not relating to Korbanot Tzibur, meaning like the Korban Tamid and all that. All that's going to be done in the Mishkan. Okay, that's going to be in Gilgal. They're going to set up a temporary Mishkan in Gilgal. You can bring Korbanot Tzibur, Tamid, Pesach, right? All the basic Korbanot, the Olat Riyah for the Regalim. But when you want to bring individual offerings, they fall into two categories. There's voluntary individual offerings. That's Ish Kol Yashar Be'enav Yaseh. That you can sacrifice anywhere you want. But what are you not able to do? Chovah offerings. Chovot Lo Yakrivu. Takrivu. That means if you're chayav a chatat or an asham, you did something wrong, you have to bring a chatat or an asham, can't bring it. You can't bring it when there's no central mishkan or Beit HaMikdash. Okay? So yisharot takrivu, chovot lo takrivu. Now, what does this have to do with our case? So why do we say that this comes to teach you that you're chayav? What do we want to say? That you're chayav on ha'la'at chutz, right? On things that are mechusar zman. Okay? So what does he say? Gilgal legabei shilom b'chusar zmanu. All those chovot that you have that you want to sacrifice are like mechusar zman, because you can't bring them now, but you can bring them in another 14 years. When Shiloh gets there, you'll be able to bring them. So they're all mechusar zman, and what does Rabbi Shimon say? You're chayav, it's a lo taseh. you can't sacrifice them, right? Which means if you're not allowed to sacrifice them also, well, it means two things. Number one, you're not allowed to sacrifice them. Number two, if you sacrifice them, they're considered outside, right? You've done it outside the place where you're allowed to do it, and therefore it's hala'at chutz. V'kamalu Moshe lo ta'asun. And Moshe said, you can't do it, so there you have a lo ta'aseh. So now they're going to say, the lo ta'aseh teaches you that you're chayav hala'at chutz, for hala'at chutz, on things that are mechusar zman. Because here we're taking things. And then what is he saying, Moshe and the Pasuk? You can't offer them up any place you want. You can't do them on the bamot. Right? Understand? You can't do them on the bamot, which are considered chutz. Right? They're chutz to Gilgal, which is where the pseudo-mishkan is. I don't want to call it a mishkan, because if it was really a mishkan, then we'd be allowed to. You can't offer them up on the bamot, wherever you want. Only Isha Yashar Ben Avi Yaseh you can do on the bamot. And if you do, you're over on this lotaseh of lotasun ken. Okay? It's kind of puzzling. You wouldn't, right? I was sitting in shul yesterday, and I said to my daughter, I said, oh, I just learned what this pasuk means. You would never have assumed that that's what this pasuk means, right? There's no way. Okay? So now, what do you have here? So there's a lotaseh. But now, according to this, what would be the lotaseh? Okay, we're using it to say you're chayav an halat chutz. There's a lotaseh. But what also are you chayav according to this? Moshe's not only telling them you can't bring them on the bamot, but you also can't bring them at all, meaning even in Gilgal, even in the Mishkan. So it sounds like there's a lo taseh for if you do it b'chutz, and there's a lo taseh also if you do it b'fnim. Now, once you say there's a lo taseh, what are we going to say? You get malkot for it. So now, Rabbi Yirmi is going to ask a question. I'm Rabbi Yirmi Yala Rabbi Zera. Ihachi milke nami lilke. And the assumption is that when we say that, we mean you're also going to be loke if you bring a mechusar zman bifnim. Right? Let's say you bring something that's not the appropriate time to bring it yet, right? Its time hasn't yet come, like these individual offerings in Gilgal, and you bring them in Gilgal, which is inside the Mishkan, you should get malka for it. And nobody says, right? And not only, he doesn't say that, but he says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, and if you, in theory, you should get Malkot also for Bifnim. We're now off of our topic of Bechutz. That's why I said we're getting a little off here. Based on that, not only is there a Lotasei Chutz, there's also a Lotasei Bifnim. And then we're going to say, but there's no Malkot on Bifnim. Okay? You get Malkot if you do it Bechutz, because that's Halat Chutz and it's a Lotasei, according to Rabbi Shimon. Again, Chachamim would say, no, there's no Lotasei at all. Remember, they said, if there's no Karet, there's no Lotasei. He says there's a Lotasei. But according to this, you should be also chayav malkot bifnim. And how do I know that you're not? Because alama amar Rabbi Zeira, hakatuv nitko la'aseh. Okay, here we're talking about otova et bino. Okay, when it says otova et bino, second, I have to remember where the pasuk of otova et bino, lo tishchatu biyom echad, and it says, what's the pasuk there? If you see in the note there where the pasuk of Otov et Bino is. Oh, I know where it is. It's in Vayikra Kafbet. Just forgot for a second. Okay. Vayikra Kafbet. Here. Okay. Pasuk Kaf Zayin. Okay. It says, Shuro kesev o'ez ki yivaled. Vayashivak yamim tachat imo. Umiyom ha-shmini v'hala yeiratze l'korban yishel Hashem. Notice there's a mitzvat aseh here. Right? It says, it has to be 7 days tachanimo. This is no tovepino. My confusion. This all okay. Forget. We're leaving no tovepino. We're talking about an animal that's mechusar zman. Okay, an animal which is our case, right? We want to say a mechusar zman bifnim. You should get malko for it. And according to this, the pasuk says a few psukim earlier. It's talking about balei mum, and it says umauch v'katuf v'natuk v'karut lo takrivu l'Hashem. I'm sorry, the pasuk before, v'shur v'seh saruah v'kalut, nidavah taseh uto, u'l'neder lo yeratzeh. There's a lo taseh of lo yeratzeh for an animal that's pasul, because it's a balmum. It's generally viewed that lo yeratzeh is a lo taseh for all sorts of korbanot that are not ra'oi to be brought on the mizbeach, lo yeratzeh. So that would be a lo taseh. You would get malka for it. But since dafka by shivat yamim tachadimo, it has to be 8, 7, you can't sacrifice it within the first 7 days of its life. Now, it doesn't say you can't sacrifice it. It just says it has to be 7 days tachanimo. And from the 8th day, yei ratzeh lekorban, comes Rabbi Zeira, and he says, hakatuv nitko la'aseh. It's a little bit like a lava nitak la'aseh, but it's a little different. Lava nitak la'aseh is like when you say, don't Don't ignore an aveda that you find. Lo tuchalit alein hashev tishivim. Right, where the solution is in the pasuk, you don't get malchut for something like that. This is a little different because it's not by the same thing. It says lo yeratzeh, yeratzeh. Okay, it says lo yeratzeh by something else, but the something else is sort of a general category. And then here, there's an aseh. He says this pasuk specifically said yeratzeh in order to tell you there's no lo taseh for this. So what does it show from there? If you have a mechusar zman and you bring it bifnim, because there it's not talking about chutz at all. If you bring it bifnim, you're not going to get malkot. And only if you bring it bachutz, you'll get malkot, and that's according to Rabbi Shimon, right? Rabbi Shimon has this unique thing that you'll get malkot. But according to Rabbi Shimon, comes Rabbi Yirmiyah and says, you should get malkot. According to his logic, the lo tasun is going to be relevant to both chutz and pnim. And why did Rabbi Zeira say you don't get malkot on a mechusar zman bifnim? So, two possible answers. One is, hanimile l'rabanan, l'Rabbi Shimon hachinami. That's what, when Rabbi Zeira said, it's katuv nitkol aseh, and there's no lo taseh, that's only according to Rabbanan, who disagree and don't think there's any lo taseh here at all. And if there's no lo taseh in chutz, right, they also agree there's no lo taseh in bifnim. But Rabbi Shimon, who holds there is a lo taseh bachutz, would say the same thing, that this lo taseh applies bifnim and bachutz. Okay? That's one answer. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak amar, pnim de Gilgal l'gabe shilo kechutz dameh. You can't call the inside of Gilgal Pnim. It's like Hala'at Chutz. It's the whole logic of saying that this, how did we get to the fact that this included Pnim, that you would get Malkot also for Pnim? Because what did we say? You can't do it on any Bama, right? Any Bamat Yachid, any Bama you want. But you also can't do it in Gilgal, because we're saying for these 14 years, you can't sacrifice any of these korbanot. And there we said, well, even Bifnim it's Asur, even Bifnim in the Mishkan. But they said, what do you mean Bifnim? That's not the Mishkan. That's like considered chutz. And now it's not chutz entirely, because you're allowed to bring korbanot tzibur, but it's chutz for specifically chovot of Yechidim. Right? For chovot of Yechidim, it's considered chutz. Chutz compared to Shiloh. Now, Shiloh is Bifnim, which you have to wait 14 years for. Gilgal is Chutz. So therefore, you don't have to assume that the Lo Tasun is relating also to things that are done Bifnim, because that's not considered Bifnim. Okay? So, that was two answers for that question. Now we're back to what's the Lo Taseh. So the first answer of the Lo Taseh of Rabbi Shimon was it's Lo Tasun. Now we have a second answer. Rabba Amar, Tamid Rabbi Shimon Kiddetanya. It's like this Braita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin lezoveach pesach bebamat yachid b'shad isur b'mot shehu belo taaseh. How do you know that if you sacrifice the korban pesach on a bamat yachid, when bamot are asurim, that you're going to get a lo taaseh? This is a weird thing. Because what do you mean you're going to get a lo taaseh? You're going to get karet. That's halat chutz. If I take my korban pesach and I offer it up on a bama, that's a classic case of halat chutz. So it's a little weird. We're going to have to re-explain this. Okay, so right now they're going to say, let's just explain a kipshuto, even though it doesn't really make sense. If you take your korban pesach and you sacrifice it when bamot are asurot, and you sacrifice it on a bamat yachid, how do you know it's a lo taseh? What's a lo taseh? Talmud lomar, lo tuchal lizboch et ha-pesach. Okay, what is the pasuk? You have to read the whole pasuk to understand how this is connected. Lo tuchal lizboch, it's dvarim tet zayin hey. Lo tuchal lizboch et ha-pesach be'echad sha'arecha asher Hashem lokech notein lach. You can't sacrifice it in any of your shaarim that you want. Okay, that sounds like hala'at chutz, right? So there's a lo taseh here for Pesach. So now we're going to say, yachol af bishat heter bamotkin. You might have thought the lo taseh is also relevant when bamot mutarot. Let's say, when bamot mutarot, what do we say? You can only bring your korban Pesach where? On a big bama, right? There were bamat yachid and bamat zibur. But what if you did it on a bamat yachid? Maybe you'd also get a lo taseh for that? No, it can't be talking about heter b'mot. How do we know? Talmud lomar b'echad sharecha. Lo amarti lecha ela b'sha'a shekol Yisrael nechnesim b'shar echad. It's only when there's an actual real mishkan and there's a isur b'mot. Then you're going to have the lo taseh for doing it in the b'mot. But if you did it b'sha'at heter b'mot, then there's no lo taseh. You're not supposed to do it, but there's no lo taseh. You're not going to get malko for it. So now the question is, Eimat, what on earth are we talking about? When are you bringing this korban Pesach? If it's bizmano, remember we've learned about a Pesach bizmano, Pesach shelo bizmano. If you're bringing this korban Pesach after chatzot, karet, nami mechayev. You're going to get karet. You're not going to get lo taseh. You're going to get karet. That's halat chutz. You took your korban Pesach when you were supposed to sacrifice it inside, and you sacrifice it outside. That's karet. That can't be what this is talking about. Elalav, it must be kodem chatzot. If it's kodem chatzot, what's that called? Mechusar Zman. It must be a Korban Pesach before you designate this for your sacrifice, for Pesach. Then you sacrifice it outside before Pesach. Then you're going to be Chayav. That's a special Lotaseh because it's saying a Mechusar Zman, you're going to be Chayav Chutz, even though it's a Mechusar Zman and it wasn't even Ro'oi Lavo Bifni. Okay. Now they're going to say, wait a minute. This doesn't make so much sense because inema. Lo'olam la'achar chatzot. No, really, it's talking about after chatzot, and then we have to explain why is it karet. Ubishat heter bamot kai. It's talking about when bamot are mutarot. Then I see you're looking a strange face. Didn't we say it said bishat isur bamot, not heter bamot? So we're gonna have to re-explain. Okay, it means it's bishat heter bamot kai. Okay? So then how you read this, you say that there's a lo ta'aseh bizman heter bamot. Now it goes back to the way we viewed it before. When there's a bama, when there's heter bamot, you can't just do it anywhere. You still have to do it at the central bama gdola. And if you do it anywhere, this is the opposite of the conclusion we came to when we read this the first time. Because the first time, that was the second part, you would have thought you'd be chayav for that. Oh no, tamalomer b'chad sharecha, you're not chayav for that. So we're going to have to reread the entire brayta now. So really means shat heter bamot. So the Gemara says, but what do you mean? B'habishat isur bamot ka'amar. But it says b'shat isur bamot and not b'shat heter bamot. So what do they say? Isur bama lo heter bama l'chavero. When it says isur bamot, it means it's a sur for that to be done on the bamot, even though it's mutar for other sacrifices on the bamot. So now you'd have to read the Braita like this. The Gemara unfortunately doesn't explain the second part of the Braita according to this, but we'll have to explain based on the Mefarshim. So I'm going to read from the beginning now. Kedetanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minay lezaveach Pesach bebamat yachid, bishat heter bamot, bishaa shehu asur, but other sacrifices are mutar in the bamot anywhere you want. That is below tase because it says lo tochal lezbochet haPesach beachad sharecha. Right, you can't just sacrifice it anywhere, even though you can sacrifice other sacrifices anywhere. It's going to be below tase, which means, by the way, if you read it like this, this rejects Rabba's whole understanding. Rabba was trying to say it's a Mechusar Zman. We're now saying it's not Mechusar Zman. Okay? And then, so now, what's the continuation? So now, actually I have to remember because I forgot. According to this now, you'd have to read the second part as saying, right. Then you might have thought that it's that it even includes la'achar chatzot, lifnei chatzot, if you do it before chatzot. That's what the second part. So now when it says yachol af bishat heter bamot kein, you're going to have to say that means even before, if you do your korban pesach early, you be chayav. Tamalomer b'chad sharecha lo amarti l'chayla b'shash shekol yisrael nechnesim b'shar echad, and that would be that you're going to, just one second. Right. The way it works is like this. You might have thought it's when there was heter bamot even for the Korban Pesach. When is there heter bamot even for the Korban Pesach? You can sacrifice it anywhere you want. If you do it before Pesach. Because remember, what did we say about, this goes back to things we learned earlier. If you take a Pesach and you sacrifice it before its time, what do we say that counts for? It's a shlamim. So a shlamim you can do anywhere. So then it becomes like an individual shlamim offering. So therefore, they say, you might have thought, even b'shat heter bamot, maybe there's a lo taseh to sacrifice something you designate as a korban pesach, but do it before pesach anywhere you want. Maybe you could do it anywhere you want because it's really a shlamim. Talmud Lomar, no. You're only chayav, this lo taseh only applies. In other words, you're allowed to sacrifice it anywhere if you want. You're only chayav if you did it lachar chatzot. You're not going to be chayav if you did it before chatzot. And that's how you'd have to read that bright. A very creative reading, right? But that's what they're saying. Okay, so we had two possible options for what the lotah says. Either it's lotah sun ken l'ashem elokech. Lotah sun, right? Lotah sun kechol asher anachnu osim po ayom ish kol asher beinav. Right? Meaning, right? You can't do that. But that means you can't offer up anything, any of the individual chovah offerings outside. Or we're going to learn it from Lo Tuchal Lizboach Et HaPesach, which they then reject and say, you can't necessarily prove from that bright that that's what Rabbi Shimon was talking about, that it's a Mechusar Zman. They thought it meant it was a Mechusar Zman, it was before Chatzot, a Pesach that you do before its time. Chayav Lo Taseh, they say it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what Rabbi Shimon meant when he said it. He could have been talking actually about the Lo Taseh is only after Chatzot when it's Hater Bamot and you want to sacrifice an offering, but obviously that reading is a little bit against the pshat of what it says. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to continue. This is actually a much easier section. If you remember, the Mishnah then said, we have all these Mechusar Zman B'Balav. What's a Mechusar Zman B'Balav? It's where you have a Zav, a Zava, Yoledet, and a Mitzora that brought their Chatat or Asham B'Chutz. Right? Those you're going to be, we're going to say, right, that's a Mechusar Zman. But, and therefore, if you offer them B'Chutz, you're going to be Patur, because it's not yet their time. But they're olot in shlamim b'chutz, you're going to be chayav, because you could have done an olah in shlamim inside and at any point, right? The chatan and the asham come very specifically for a specific thing. You can't just bring them randomly. But if you take the olah and the shlamim that you're chayav for those things and bring them inside, and bring them earlier, outside, you're actually going to be chayav for alat chutz, because they were where to go for all moed. Now, you have to operate under the operating assumption that in the Mishnah before the Amoraim, the word Mitzora didn't appear. It just said Zav Zava and Yoledet. Okay? Our said Zav Zava Yoledet and Mitzora. If you remember when I read this, I said, I wonder why they didn't add Nazir. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, the issue is, we need some background. What do you bring for Zav and a Zava? You remember? Remember anyone? A chatat and an ola. Remember sometimes you can bring the two birds, a chatat, a chal ola. You bring a chatat and an ola for yoledet, a zav and a zava. A mitzora brings, okay, so let's just chart it out, okay, so you have it straight. So you have a chatat and an ola for the zav, zava, and yoledet. The mitzora brings, okay, a keves l'asham, okay, so it brings an asham, a keves l'ola, and it keeps sal l'chatat. So you have a chatat and ola and an asham. The nazir brings, okay, notice what's missing here, by the way, that we discussed in the Mishnah? Shlamim. There's no shlamim brought by any of these people, okay? The nazir brings the el shlamim, you remember the el, okay? So he brings a kipsal l'chatat, okay, a keves l'ola, and an ayah l'shlamim. Okay? So now notice, if you just have zav zava and yoledet, there's only two things they bring, a chatat and an ola. And what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, chatatam va'ashamam b'chutz. Well, there's no asham here, right? Then they're p'turim, and olotehem u'shalmehem b'chutz chayavim. There's no asham and there's no shlamim. Okay? So the Gemara says, v'hane b'nei asham o'ninu? There's no asham by these things. Amar Zeire, Tenei Mitzora Bahadayu. Zeire says, add Mitzora to the list. Okay? Which is what happened, in fact, right? Mitzora got added in to our addition to the list. Okay? Olo Tehem Vishalmehem. So they ask, what do you mean? Bahani B'nei Shlamim Ninu. But even if you add Mitzora to the list, you still don't have a Shlamim. It added Asham. There's no Shlamim. Amar Rav Sheshet, Tenei Nazir. Add Nazir to the list. Okay, now this is just an interesting in terms of development of the text of our Gemara. Nazir de Ze'ere Kavua Tanai. Derav Sheshet. No, I didn't read this right. Tanai Nazir, period. Okay, sorry. De Ze'ere Kavua Tanai. The Tanaim, in other words, Ze'eri, the Amora's version, got put back in the Mekoro Tanaim. In other words, now everybody says the Mishnah with Mitzora in it. Derav Sheshet lo Kavua Tanai. Okay, but the Tanaim didn't add Rav Sheshet, the Nazir, to the Mishnah. We don't know why. But here you have something about the way those texts was put together. Am Rav Chilkiyad Bar, I think it should be Bar Tuvi. Losh, okay, now we're talking about the Mitzora. It said that the Mitzora, so first of all, a Mitzora, if you do an Asham, Lishmo, right, that's you do an Asham. If you do an Asham Shelo Lishmo, let's say you do it Lishem Ola, so it's going to be considered an Ola, as opposed to a Chata, which is disqualified. Remember the asham, you could do shelo lishmo. So what does he say? Lo shanu ela lishmo. Okay, what did it say? Chatatam v'ashamam, right? If you do their chatat and the asham, right? Bachutz, you're going to be patur because they're not ra'oy for anything earlier. But what does he say? That's only if you do it lishmo. What if you sacrifice your asham shelo lishmo earlier, before the eighth day of the mitzora? So it's going to be considered, let's say you do it l'shem ola, it's a good ola. So he says, if you do it shelo l'shma, and then you do it b'chutz, you're actually going to be chayav. Okay? So now, that's what he says. Lo shanu ela l'shma, but shelo l'shma chayav, ho il v'ra'oi shelo l'shma bifnim. Since it could have been brought shelo l'shma bifnim, and you did it shelo l'shma b'chutz, you're actually going to be chayav. So they say to him, Ihachi, Lishmo Nami Michayev, Hoi Avura Oi, Lishalo Lishmo Bifnim. So they say, well, according to that, your Asham, let's say you bring it Lishem Asham, Bachutz. Since you could have, in theory, done it Lishem Ola Bachutz and been Chayav, you should all, and since it potentially could have been brought today, if you change the name, right, change the designation, then it also would have been Chayav, so maybe you could call that Ra'oi. So they say, no. By Akira. That needs Akira. That's already. You know, it needs too much. It needs you to change the name and do it outside. That's already, we're not going that far. But now, Matkifla Rapuna, we'll end with this. Chiesh labar davar, sheino kashir lishmo, v'kashir shelo lishmo. Now you're going to say that a korban asham, right, if you do it shelo lishmo, it's going to be good before the eighth day, and you do it lishmo, it's going to be bad. How could you possibly say that you can take this sacrifice and mess it up, do it shelo lishmo, and it'll be better, right? It'll be kasher. When you did it shelo lishmo, if you would do it lishmo, it wouldn't be. How could you possibly say that? So they say, what do you mean? Of course, we have a classic example. V'halarei, Pesach, b'shar yimot ha-shana, deino kasher lishmo, v'kasher shelo lishmo. This is our classic case, right? Pesach, we just talked about it before. If you take a Pesach and you do it shelo lishmo, and you do it before Pesach, right? You designated it for Karman Pesach. Then you decide, I'm going to bring it as a shlamim. So there you have it. Where Dafka doing it shelo lishma will make something that wouldn't have been kasher lishmo kasher. So what's your problem with doing that for the asham? So the answer, no. Pesach b'shar yimot hashama shlamim ninu. In other words, a Pesach is, if you take a Pesach and you do it any other day of the year, that is a shlamim. It's not that you're changing the name. It's not a different thing. A Pesach is a korban shlamim on Pesach for Pesach. But if you do it any other day, we just call it a korban shlamim. It's not like you're actually changing the name. A Pesach is a type of shlamim that you give on the 14th. But if you do it any other day before Chatzot of the 14th, right? If it's not Chatzot, after Chatzot of the 14th, then it's called a shlamim. That's not the same. So in fact, they're left with the question that according to, right, they don't agree with Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, that if you're going to do it shelo lishmo outside, you're actually going to be chayav, because that's basically taking something, lowering the Ramah and making it more, right, and making it more acceptable. So, right, it's an interesting paradox, I would say.